And usually the people who were more in the front. So at times you can miss out on the people at the back. So I had that privilege to kind of observe, and I really, really want to thank God that the way he's been leading us, taking us like the children of Israel on a journey from place to place. Now, if you remember that story, God delivered the children of Israel from the Egyptian captivity, and then he told them, the cloud will lead you when? Please, does anybody read their Bibles? Have you heard that story in Sunday school when you were little? And those who are still little, have your Sunday school teachers taught you? The cloud will lead them during the day, and what leads them at night? The pillar of fire leads them at night. So what just happens is very simple. The cloud moves, they move during the day. The pillar of fire during the night moves, they move. So anywhere the cloud stops during the day, they stop. Anytime the pillar of fire moves and stops in the nighttime, they also follow suit. Now, they were not the ones dictating how the pillar will move, or fire. They were not the ones dictating how the cloud will move. All they needed to do was just to be conscious and always look at the cloud. Now, picture this. If you were part of that crowd that just kept moving during the day and stopping, moving during the night and stopping, please, just picture. Don't you think it will get to a point where you are weary? Oh, when we just camped here and we just thought that, yeah, this is it. And then the cloud just moves. And then in the nighttime too, wow, this is so cozy. We're here now. Finally, finally. And then what happens? The pillar of fire moves. It gets to a point where a little bit of weariness. When are we going to stop? When are we going to stop? Oh, come on, wake up somebody. When are we going to stop? You start asking that question. But you know what? God said he was taking them to a promised land. Now, when you follow that story, the journey to the promised land actually was going to technically take only 40 days. But God decided that he will not take them through the 40-day journey, but he will take them through a 40-year journey. Now, why was God doing that? It seems like God was kind of wasting their time. But God, in his infinite wisdom, he knew those he wanted in the promised land. He knew the people with the right mindset that he needed to do the work when they get to the promised land. So what God was simply doing all through that journey was sifting, separating, and choosing. A journey of 40 days took 40 years. At the end of the 40 years, it was just a few that started the journey from Egypt that ended up in the promised land. You see, we need to understand the dealings of God. And we need to understand our place. When I say our place, our own responsibility to how God deals and when God deals with us, what we should do. Can I tell us the simplest thing you should do? Just follow. just obey. The Bible says obedience is better than? Obedience is better than? Okay, so please tell somebody, just obey. Okay. Now, that was not the message. The message is actually an exercise we're going to do today. And please, everyone, including little children, are going to participate. So please make sure nobody's talking to you. Make sure nobody's distracting you. Make sure that you just simply focus and you obey. I'm going to give out some simple instructions and then let's follow. So we're going to talk today. We're just going to talk to ourselves as a church. Right? And by the way, let me just say, good news is that we are the cloud of glory. Let me speak now in the spirit. The cloud of glory has settled here. And when I say settled here, we are here now. Let's celebrate the cloud of glory. Okay? I'm speaking in parables. So, spread the news, blow the trumpet in Zion, and tell everyone, a love assembly is now in Crawford House. We're here at least for good now. Let's celebrate that again. Okay? So please tell somebody what that means. Tell the person next. What that means? That he's not coming next Sunday to tell us that we are moving. Okay. Thank you for following that instruction. Now, we are not losing focus. We are a church with a God-given vision to see people from all nations discipled into the unity of the faith and love of our Lord Jesus Christ. Please repeat after me. Our vision in Love Assembly is to see people. Please, I can hear you. To see people from all nations discipled into the unity of the faith and love of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We have not lost focus, and we will never lose focus. Let's read together Genesis chapter 1, verse 9 to 10. I need your full attention today. Full attention. Genesis chapter 1, verse 9 to 10. You know, that's why we don't have noisemakers and people who would distract us in the house today. Genesis chapter 1, verse 9 to 10. We're going to read together, okay? We are reading the scripture together. If you were not at the Bible study on Thursday, which I will encourage every one of us to start attending so that you get a proper grasp of what is happening. We explained this Genesis chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. I will implore us, go home, get on the church website. You can listen to it in different ways. It's interesting that it's also on YouTube. And I was watching the YouTube. It's so interesting that the YouTube was coming up with, what's that thing? Subtitles. With subtitles. So everything I was saying, YouTube was typing. Come on, celebrate me. I'm a celebrity now. I'm on TV. But you know what amazed me? YouTube could not pick my accent at times. I will say some things and it's a different thing that will be typed. I say, man, YouTube needs to get saved. Anyway, you can watch it on YouTube. You can watch it on the church website, www.loveassembly.org. Just click on messages, you'll see all the messages are there. We are intentional and deliberate about the things we teach and the things we do. The things we do, the things we teach. If you follow the journey, you will notice a consistency of the teaching of the word that we do here. That is one thing we will never lose focus of. Our focus is not on people or what people do. Our focus is on the word of God. Okay? All right. So let's read this. So go listen to it. It was broken down, and some instructions were there, which I believe will bless us, will help a lot of us. Genesis chapter 1, verse 9. Let's read together. Then God... Okay, you've gone back to bed. One, two, go. God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place. And let the dry land appear. And it was so. Verse 10. And God called the dry land earth, and the garden together of the waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Please lift up your hand. I will go and study that scripture, confess, declare. I will go back home and read. Some people have stopped talking now. And study Genesis chapter 1. I'm looking at you, I'm a teacher. Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. Good. Verse 9 and 10. Clap for yourself. Okay. Just meditate on it. I don't want to elaborate on it. We have done that. April 2019, we have a theme. Everybody say with me, pleasant boundaries. Pleasant boundaries. You know what a boundary is? It means don't pass this place. Right? Limits, principles, things that we abide by. Boundary. Countries, nations have boundaries. I was in a prayer meeting with church leaders on Friday, a retreat. And for the first time, I saw a very big map of Liverpool. And it was laid on the floor. And all the church leaders and elders of this city, we all spread around and were praying over the city. But then I noticed that Liverpool was divided into different regions. I saw all the demarcation. I saw the full map, and I began to see Liverpool in a different form I've never seen before. And we had to pray. We prayed over all the giants in the land, confronting the people. We prayed over all the vices. We took authority in the name of Jesus. We declared the Lordship of Jesus Christ over the city of Liverpool. But there were demarcations. Knowsley is separated from Halton. Halton is separate from Liverpool city itself. Where do you live? Do you know your boundary? Where's your boundary? You, sir. You're in the city center. Anybody else knows a boundary I've not mentioned? I've mentioned Halton, I've mentioned Losley, I've mentioned Liverpool. Sefton, another boundary. And each one of them has like a metropolitan council. Knowsley Metropolitan Council does not cross boundary into Liverpool City Council to start collecting your beans. Boundaries. Pleasant boundaries. But the boundaries we're talking about here is not the boundary of, don't touch me. It's how can we relate irrespective of the boundaries. It's when we learn to relate. This month we'll be talking a lot about relationships. So please invite somebody, tell somebody, you know, anybody you fall in love with or you fall out of love with, tell them. We'll talk a lot about relationships, especially this month as we look at pleasant boundaries. That's the scripture. The lines are falling to us in pleasant places or pleasant boundaries. If you read Psalm 16, verse 5 to 9, the word for today, please say with me, setting godly boundaries. I will run a quick commentary. Let's turn to Psalm 16, verse 5 to 9. Let's read it quickly. We will all read again together. When we read together, we hear together, we declare together, and we are together. Psalm 16, verse 5, 1, 2, go. Oh Lord, I can't hear you now. You've gone back to bed. 1, 2, go. Oh Lord, you are my portion of my inheritance and my cup. You maintain my lot. The lines are falling to me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a goodly inheritance. Verse 7, I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart also instructs me in the night seasons. Verse 8, I've set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Verse 9, therefore, my heart is glad, my glory rejoices, my flesh also will rest in hope. Exodus chapter 17, from verse 8 to 16, is a story where we will take this little exhortation and exercise from today. Setting godly boundaries. Please, somebody say, setting godly boundaries. And please tell somebody beside you, there's a godly boundary between you and I. Is that the godly boundary? That's a bag. That doesn't look godly to me. What's in the bag? I hope it's money. If it's money, it's godly, isn't it? Okay. Please tell somebody again, there's a godly boundary between you and I. Okay. Now, Exodus chapter 17. I will read the story and then we'll do this exercise. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for time. Thank you for everything. Some people will come in today and find out we are just sharing the grace. Ooh, who said amen? Okay, verse 8, Exodus 17. I'll just quickly read the story. Please listen. I've learned now that at times we explain too much of the Bible. Let the Bible read itself. Let the Bible explain itself. So listen to this story, and I'll just run a commentary. Exodus chapter 17, New King James Version. Now Amalek came and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said to Joshua, choose us some men and go out. Fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And so it was when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hand became heavy. So they took a stone and put it under him. And he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. So Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. How was this battle fought and won? This battle, let me give us a commentary. God tells the children of Israel, he delivers them from Egyptian captivity. And they began this journey. And as they were going, a people called Amalek attacks them. Now, you need to understand the full picture of how this attack really looked like. Amalek, they saw these people coming. They were passing through their region. And they decided to attack them. But do you know what they actually attacked? Let's go to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 25. You will understand how Amalek attacked Israel and what they attacked. Okay? Deuteronomy chapter 25, I believe verse 17. Amalek attacking Israel as Israel left Egypt. They were going to the promised land, and some people decided to attack them. Remember, this is God telling the children of Israel years after. Remember what Amalek did to you on the way as you were coming out of Egypt. What did they do to the children of Israel? Look at verse 18. How he met you on the way and attacked your rear ranks, all the stragglers at your rear, when you were tired and weary, and he did not fear God. Please stop there. A people who had been in captivity for over 400 years, they lived captivity. They're going to the promised land God showed them. And then all of a sudden, some people who just hate them or don't like them decide to attack. Excuse me. These are people who are still struggling with a slave mentality. These are people who have been bruised, battered for years. And then on top of that, lots of them, I don't know, because I don't want to get into any theological error here, but I think they were almost like a million people. I don't know. Sorry? Does anybody know any theologian in the house? I'm just 600,000 besides women and children. You know, that's why my wife was my Sunday school teacher. You know, please celebrate my wife. Don't be jealous now. Don't be jealous. Why the jealousy now? 600 men besides women and 600,000, sorry, besides. So picture, they were close to a million or more than a million. And then these people saw them passing and decided to attack. And guess what they attacked? They went to attack the people at the back who were weak, who were tired. People who were, can you imagine when everybody's going? Who do you think will be at the back? The elderly, the weak, the children, those perhaps who one of the soldiers of Pharaoh had broken their leg when they were in, you know, and hopping. Those were the people they attacked. Weak people. Amalek attacked their rear. Please, I've come to tell you today that look at yourself as Amalek. When you are not looking where you cannot see, your blind spot in your weakness, that's when the devil usually strikes. And guess what also? After a major breakthrough, because they just broke through and free from Egypt, the enemy now comes from the back to attack. How many of us have used this phrase before? Wow, that guy stabbed me in the back. You don't understand that phrase? Okay. How many of us have been stabbed in the back before? Please let me take off my shirt. I will show you. Take it off. Are you scared? I have been stabbed in the back many times. That was what Amalek did. Let's go back to Exodus 17. The enemy strikes at our very low, weak moments and strikes us at the very, very area of our vulnerability. At the back, when you are not looking. At the back, when you are careless. At the back, when you have dropped your guard. At the back. I'm careful what I'm saying now, but I don't mean this, and please, I'm not directing it at anybody. I realized, sitting at the back for 2 Sundays, that I can actually come to this church and not hear anything. God will be moving powerfully, things will be happening, but I'm sitting at the back and I'm not a participator or a receptor, nothing. Somebody said the back is dangerous. What I'm just trying to let us know is that we are in a constant battle, whether you like it or not. You win one battle, another one is rearing his head at your rear. When you are conscious that you are in a battle, you will stop being careless. There are some things I want to share with the men, just men only. Just men only. We'll have the opportunity. But I just believe God wants me to share some things with the men in this church. The men. I'm not being sexist, please. I'm just saying this is an instruction, a leading I have, to share some things with the men. Our weaknesses that can destroy us so easily. Okay. So that's what Amalek. Wicked Amalek. I mean, if you want to fight people who are weak, who are slaves, come on. At least be fair in the battle. Go and engage at least those ones who can still give you a tough time. No. They went to strike the weak ones. But this is where we're going. God gave Moses, their leader, a war strategy. Yes, God knows you are weak. God knows that you cannot win the battle. Come on, how can a weak old person, sickly person, fight a fit war battle ready Amalekite? I mean, if you put them side by side, that's not a fair battle. We are like that in our weakness. So what is the strategy? Simple. If you go back home, read Exodus chapter 17 from verse 8 till the end. Three strategies. And this strategy evolved. Moses, spiritual authority, stands on top of the mountain. He just told Joshua, you go to the valley, fight. I will be on the mountain with my rod lifted up. And something happened. Anytime the rod was up, Joshua won the battle. Anytime the rod, Moses' hand became weak and went down, Joshua lost the battle. Listen, you might say, no, it doesn't concern me. Are you getting me? It's Moses that is fighting. Let him be on the mountain and pray. I don't care. It's Joshua who can fight. Let him go and fight. Excuse me. If Moses' hand goes down, Joshua loses the battle, you are going to be the prey. Listen, in the life and this world we live in, there is no demilitarized zone. We are in a warfare. It only just depends on whose side you are on. You are either on the Lord's side or you're on the enemy's camp. And listen, at times it may look like the enemy is winning. But if you understand this strategy today and every one of us takes our place, we can be sure that when battles of life come, we will always prevail. How did they prevail? Moses, rod up, hands up. Joshua goes to fight. Joshua wins. Moses, hands down. Joshua loses. And guess what? The Amalekites are coming after every member of the Israeli camp. Okay. Before we go any further, who are the people who fought the battle? The men. Joshua and some men. How did they win the battle? Please talk back to me now. I just need, where are the microphones? I told somebody to, okay, anybody who just random, from that picture we saw, how was the battle won or fought? Okay, try. You want to try?
By obedience.
By obedience. You are too spiritual. Break it down. Just break it down. What happened in that picture?
In the valley. They were fighting.
They were fighting the battle. Okay, how did they win the battle? With Moses. If Moses' hand was up, they will be winning. Do you agree?
Yes.
If Moses' hand was down, they will be losing. Who will be losing? Joshua. And everybody will be affected. So, what happened that Moses' hand stayed up and they won?
Hur and Aaron.
Aaron and Hur, they looked and they observed. Hey, when this guy's hand goes down, they are losing. When his hand goes up, they are winning. How can we keep his hand up? That's what is known as strategy. There are some of us, we don't feel spiritual. We don't feel strong. We can't fight. But excuse me, we can think. That was common sense. Please, somebody say common sense. So I'm going to ask you, let's say Moses represents the spiritual, Joshua represents the physical, and Aaron and all, well, Moses' hand represents the intellectual. Who do you think is more important? Who won that actual battle? Don't give me the answer yet. Please bring out a note, or those of you who can see, when I say see, I will show something in a flash, and I want you to, it's a flash, okay? And I want you to just tell me what you see. So this is the exercise. Pleasant boundaries, okay? I want you to tell me what you see. All right, go back to my slide. Let me get back to you. You know which one? Okay. I know, you know, I was talking to you this morning. She's a, is it clinical? What's your field? Psychology. She's a psychologist. We need psychologists. Oh, you don't think so? Anybody here studying psychology? Why are you studying psychology? Oh, you studied. Why did you study psychology? He doesn't know.
Yeah, because I was curious about the way the human behavior and how.
You are curious about human behavior?
Yeah, and how the mind works.
How the mind works. So you studied psychology. Do you know that the mind of man, of human beings, is so powerful that you can literally, in your mind, set boundaries? You can decide from tomorrow, Ify, that you know what, I'll just come, sit down, listen to that boy talking here, but I won't listen. Boundary in your mind. Immediately picks the microphone, you switch off. You are still looking, you are smiling, but in your mind, there's been an unpleasant boundary. The mind is so powerful. The person you are sitting next to, you can literally set a boundary in your mind. Let me tell you what's so powerful. You can set a boundary against God. God, as far as you and I are concerned, you can't cross this boundary of my life. When it comes to the area of my academics, Lord, hold your Bible. We are talking about biochemistry. Lord, you know nothing about biochemistry. So let me study my biochemistry. And I set a boundary. God does not matter as far as my biochemistry is concerned. Some of us, it might be our business. You don't involve God in your business. You've set a boundary. Do you know what the psalmist said? I have set the Lord before me. That psalm we read, he's always on my right side. The psalmist said, I think it's Psalm 78, they limited the Holy One of Israel. You can limit God in your life. You can create a boundary. I learned a secret in school. The day I read that the Holy Spirit knows all things, sees all things, will show me things to come, will teach me all things, I started involving God, the Holy Spirit, in my academics. I am not boasting. 50 of us started the course originally. 18 of us graduated out of the original 50. I had the best result out of that 18. Celebrate me, I'm not that dull. What was my secret? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. I involved God in literally everything I did when I was in the university. I was active in my fellowship. I did everything because I found a secret that God has no boundary in my life. Everything. We sang everything. Is God really everything to you? Moses with the rod of God. Joshua with the weapons, physical weapons of warfare. And then Aaron and Hur used their common sense. We need people with common sense. You have a place in the church. Let's go to the exercise. Okay? I will flash it. 1 second. And then I want you to write what you see. This exercise, let me move out of the way. You're already peeping. It's good. It shows you are following. No, don't capture it on your phone. I don't want you to go back to it. Capture it in your mind. Are we ready? She's a psychologist. All right? She's going to flash it for... How many seconds should we give them? You're a psychologist. Advise me now. No, 60 seconds is too much. 5 seconds. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Just tell me what you see. We are creating a pleasant boundary now. Go. Oh, come on. Take it back. Take it back. Did you see anything? Oh, no. It was meant to be. Take it back. Take it away. Oh, no. They've messed my slide. They've messed my slide. Ah! Are you ready? We still try. Don't worry. Nobody saw it. I know some people saw it already. Are you ready? Almost. Please, somebody say, she's almost ready. Now, please talk back to me. Why are you going to bed now? She's almost. All right. Okay. Ready? Are you sure? Don't mess my slide again. This time you have 2 seconds. 3 seconds have gone. All right, let's go. 1, 2, 3. Vanish. Okay? What did you see? Sorry?
Opportunity is nowhere.
Okay, opportunity is nowhere. Who saw something else? You've never seen this before, please.
I did.
Some people have seen it before. Okay, you've not seen it before. Okay, what did you saw opportunity is nowhere. Okay, what did you see?
Opportunity is now here.
Opportunity is now here. Who saw something else? Okay, if you saw opportunity is nowhere, can you please raise up your hand? No, please, don't cheat. We're in the house of God. Please stand up. If you saw opportunity, it's nowhere. Stand up, stand up. Please be. It's an exercise. It's not, you've not passed or failed. Do you understand? Are you getting me? You've not passed or failed. Okay. No. Which one did you see first? You can't see both at the same time. Thank you for your honesty. Opportunity is nowhere. Okay. All right. Sit down. Those who saw opportunities now here. First time. Opportunity is now here. For the first time you saw it. Okay. Thank you. Please sit down. Now listen. I'm not claiming any originality on that. I went for a training in my college. And this exercise came up. And God spoke to me. We can all look at the same thing and see different things. Two, some of us can look at the same thing somebody else is looking at. Some of us will see opportunities, and some of us will see no opportunity. Excuse me, you are not dull. You are not making a mistake. This is what God told me. It just shows that some of us are Moses, and some of us are actually borderline between Aaron and Or and Joshua. Those of us who saw opportunities nowhere, please stand up again. I will tell you where you belong. Please look at yourselves. You are very spiritual people. Listen. You don't understand your strength. You can be a Moses in the house, in your community, in your personal homes, a Moses who we need their rod to be up, who can pray, who see things more in the spiritual. Without a Moses, Joshua could not win that battle. And listen, without Aaron and Or that use their brain, no matter what Moses does on that mountain, no matter what Joshua does, tries to do with his physical strength, the whole house is in danger. So those of you who saw opportunities nowhere, thank God you have power, spiritual power. Please sit down. Those of us who saw opportunities now here, please stand up. Stand up for recognition. We need you in this church. You are people who are very hands-on. I'm happy you saw that in Kem, because if you saw the other one, we'll fire you as the church administrator and hire somebody here now. You are the people who see the correlation between the spirit and the physical. How many of us standing, probably, you know, you just wonder at times, this thing is very simple. It's just common sense. What's all this over spirit you are doing? What's all this over spirit? Are you over spiritualizing? Excuse me. We are not going to despise Moses. If Moses' hand goes down, we're in trouble. And if Moses despises you, Moses, after they finish everybody, they are coming for him on the mountain. We need you. I want to tell us, we're in a point and at a point as a church where we're fighting another set of battle. God needs every one of us to come on board. I spoke to the men last week. Can you start owning your church and stop seeing yourself as coming to church and start being a part of the church? Please, all the opportunity is nowhere. Please stand up, join hands with the people standing. It's a symbol of unity. We are setting pleasant boundaries. We need Moses. We need Aaron and all. We need. And please, can I implore you? We're going to start a rethinking, a re-strategizing, a re-deeming of ourselves as a church from now on, from this April. Think of where you can participate. Listen. Listen. This is what will determine your survival in this season we've entered as a church. Enough of sitting down doing nothing. Any part of the human body that stops functioning starts dying. You think you are not spiritual enough, that's why you're not doing anything. We are in a battle. We're in this community. We've got work to do. We need you. Please pray for the person next to you. I don't know what they saw. Those who can pray, pray. Some of you who cannot really pray, don't worry. You can think. Just ask. God, give me ideas of what we can do. Show me my part in this church. Show me my part. Show me what I can do. Those who can pray, please pray. Those who saw opportunities nowhere, pray for everyone. Please pray. Whatever weakness, I'm telling you, we all have our weaknesses. Amalek is striking us. Please, those of us who can pray, pray for strength, pray for the weak. Those who can think, since you started coming to this place, what have you been thinking? What has been going on in your mind? God, show me my part. Show me what I can do. Show me what I can do. Show me, Lord Jesus, what I can do. What I can do. I have a place. Father, we lift up holy hands to you right now. Father, I pray. The hands of Moses are weak. Lord, raise Aaron's and Hur's. Lord, Lord, Aaron and Hur can only think. Raise men, raise women, raise those who can fight the battle. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come as a body, we come as one, we come in unity. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, we wage war against every weakness, against anything that is pulling us down individually, pulling our families down, that is coming against your church. Please pray. Pray right now. We take authority in the name of Jesus. Lord, those who are healed today, we declare that healing is permanent. We say affliction will not return a second time. Those, Lord, who can think in this place, I pray, Lord, release wisdom upon them. Release wisdom. Release wisdom. More knowledge, wisdom, understanding. Oh, you can think. You can strategize. What can you see? What can we start doing as a church? How can we win this community? What can we set in place? What have you seen that is not going right? What have you seen that you think needs to just change? To just change? To just tweak a bit? That is why you are here. I need you. You need me. I need you. You need me. We are in this together. We fight together. We win together. We lose together. I need you, Moses. I need you, Aaron and all. We need you, Joshua. We need you. We need you. Together as one right now, we wage war. We say, Lord God Almighty, the reason why we are here, the reason why we have been journeying, the reason why you brought us merry-go-round, you brought us to the place where we first were almost going to move to 12 years ago. Lord God Almighty, release your perfect plan. Let everyone here begin to see the blueprint. Let everyone begin to see where they belong. And Lord, I pray, thank you for pleasant boundaries. Thank you for separating. Thank you for sieving. Thank you, Lord God Almighty, for those who are ready to enter the promised land. Lord, you preserve. Lord, you keep. But Lord, it all depends on us also. We follow your obedience. We follow the cloud of glory. We follow the pillar of fire. Wherever you lead us, Lord, we go. We know nothing except what you show us. In the name of Jesus. Please, let's just sit down. I want us to just meditate for a minute before the announcement comes.